I call the Senate Health and Social Services Committee to order at 1:30 p.m. on Monday, March 5th, 2018. We're meeting today in room 205 in the Capitol Building. Please remember to silence your cell phones as a courtesy. Committee members present today are Senator Machicki, Senator Von Imhoff, Senator Begich, myself, Senator Wilson, Senator Von Imhoff is excused from the call from committee today. This afternoon, we'll hear and take public testimony on Senate Bill 169, Medicaid Behavioral Health Coverage, presented by Senator Giesel. This is our first time hearing the bill. Available from Department of Health and Social Services to answer questions is Director Randall Burns, Director of Behavioral Health, and additional staff. We also have Deborah Stoven from the DCCED, Medical Board Examining Assistant, also in the room. And before you was version D of the bill that we introduced, and we also have a proposed committee substitute version J. Might have a motion to bring this CS before committee, Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to adopt a proposed committee substitute for Senate Bill 169, working draft 30-LS1283/J is our working document.
All right. I'll object for purposes of discussion, Senator Giesel. If you want to come up to the table and discuss the CS, present the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Senator Kathy Giesel, representing Senate District N, and I'm going to move the Kleenex within reach because I just went to a lunch and learn that was sponsored by the Alaska Behavioral Health Association, and at that lunch and learn were three people whose lives were turned around by the behavioral health services that the state of Alaska provides. And they were pretty compelling stories and have increased my passion for Senate Bill 169 and what it would do. Thank you for adopting the committee substitute, Mr. Chairman. This bill will address the access to mental health care services in Alaska. I'm going to give you some information that I know you already know, but just to put it on the record, Alaska leads the nation in suicides and domestic violence. Our suicide rate is twice the national average. 66% of Alaska adults have one or more adverse childhood events in their history. 20% of Alaska adults have been diagnosed with a behavioral health disorder. Substance abuse and misuse is not something new to the state. As a lifelong Alaskan, and I know that Senator Begich is as well, we have been aware of the issues of alcohol and illegal substances in our state for, well, my entire lifetime. At the core of these issues are things like adverse childhood events, isolation, depression, just to name a few. It's also been widely known that we lack sufficient behavioral health services to meet the needs for all these folks and have for decades. Senate Bill 74 was the Medicaid reform bill that we worked on in 2015. So we passed that out. One of the intents of that bill was to expand behavioral health care services through expanded clinician base. In other words, enabling more educated, competent clinicians to be able to offer these services by removing the restrictions that limit them from providing the services under Medicaid. This was a big issue in Senate Finance as that bill was carefully worked for a month, three meetings a week on that bill, and behavioral health care services was a huge priority. At that time, the Division of Behavioral Health assured the committees that they could, through regulation, address a rule, AAC 135030E, which limits who can provide behavioral health clinical services. But then they came back 2 years later and said, oops, sorry, we'll need a statute. So 2 years passed as we waited for this to happen. This adds to my frustration. Nevertheless, it was enacted, And we've seen no improvement in mental health care services. In fact, wait lists, I am told, are 18 months to 2 years in length. The Division of Public Division of Behavioral Health tells us that Medicaid expansion has actually increased the demand for behavioral health and substance abuse treatment by nearly 5,000 adults. But right now, Alaskans can't access the services for this. Consequently, our emergency rooms become their behavioral health clinics. Emergency rooms have nowhere to place these people that come. And so they're actually holding patients in their emergency rooms. One anecdotal report was that some emergency rooms were having to hold these folks for as long as 13 days. A friend of mine had to be treated in an emergency room, was there for several hours, and consequently was brought a food tray. And the only utensil on the tray was a spoon, because it is so common to have behavioral health patients in the emergency room now. They simply provide safe trays, as they're called, for all the patients in the emergency room. That underscores the magnitude of this problem. Not only is the emergency room the most expensive form of treatment, but it's inappropriate. It is an inappropriate use of emergency room beds. And the Alaskans that go to these emergency rooms are still not getting the services they need. There is a letter from the Matsu Health Foundation in your packet which underscores this. The Division of Behavioral Health has applied for Centers for Medicaid and Medicare 1115 Behavioral Health Waiver Demonstration. That's been filed. My understanding is it's been judged complete, a complete application, and now it's going through a public comment period till April 15th. That's great. But when I ask the question, okay, so it goes through this public comment, that ends April 15th, then how long before we actually get something being done? And the estimate is 2 more years. Mr. Chairman, Alaskans cannot wait 2 more years for these critical services. And that's why I bring forward Senate Bill 169. It is intended to do exactly what this demonstration, 1115 waiver, is supposed to do. Rebalance the current behavioral health care system to reduce the over-reliance on acute and institutional care and shift to more community or regionally based care. Intervene as early as possible to address these issues before the symptoms cascade into functional impairments, and to improve the overall behavioral health care system, accountability, and existing system. There are only a few clinics in Anchorage that can accept patients for behavioral health services and be able to bill Medicaid. Under the rule that we have, and it is a rule put in place by bureaucrats, it is not something this legislature passed, a psychiatrist must be physically present 30% of the time and supervising other providers in order for them to bill Medicaid. This drastically limits the access to vital behavioral health care. Why? Because there are only 114 psychiatrists licensed in the state of Alaska. 114. So, there are clinics that will accept Medicaid patients, but they have special waivers that allow them to, the rule to be waived for them, and federally community health clinics, which are federally funded, can also provide services, but these are limited. You'll see letters from the Alaska Behavioral Health Association and Dr. Tracy Weiss in the packet that address this. Dr. Weiss is a psych mental health nurse practitioner. So she is an advanced practice nurse practitioner who is specially certified in psychiatric mental health care, just like a psychiatrist. But she cannot supervise anyone. The Recidivism Reduction Program was part of Senate Bill 91. That was that crime bill that we passed, and that passed in 2016. And it established help for the rehabilitation of parolees. But most of those folks need behavioral health or substance abuse services, adding yet more to the population of need. So the Department of Corrections is experimenting with Vivitrol for its seriously addicted parolees, but those folks also need behavioral health services. So Medicaid providers are limiting their clientele to the most severe cases or those who are leaving the correction system. You can look at the letter from the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education for more information about that aspect. But, Mr. Chairman, we can solve this now. We can open the doors to behavioral health services now. The Division of Behavioral Health has said they need a statute. That's what SB 169 is. So let me tell you about the bill. It only has one section. It starts out by saying that behavioral health clinic services may be provided by psychiatrists or psychiatric mental health advanced nurse practitioners. Direct supervision is required of other clinicians, like marriage and family therapists, clinical social workers, in order to be reimbursed by Medicaid. That supervision, however, can be provided by a psychiatrist or a psychiatric mental health advanced nurse practitioner. By the way, these advanced nurse practitioners are very mobile and are located in very diverse places in the state, not just in our large cities. The bill also goes on to define direct supervision as being updated to include either in person or by a communication device. We need to bring this supervision into the 21st century, Mr. Chairman. These folks can communicate by a telehealth, phone, email. Criteria are included for the supervision, and you see them listed there in the bill. There is no effective date specified because 20 days after the governor has signed the bill, it will go into law, actually 90 days after he signs it, in conformance with Uniform Bill Number 39. So regardless, that is definitely sooner than 2 years from now. So again, Mr. Chairman, there are only 114 psychiatrists in the state of Alaska. We need to expand the ability of other qualified clinicians to provide these services. Alaskans simply can't wait another 2 years. This bill is supported by the Matsu Health Foundation, the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education, and the Alaska Behavioral Health Association. I will also call out, Mr. Chairman, that the Alaska Council of School Administrators identifies behavioral health services as one of their legislative priorities. I volunteer in a school in Anchorage, one of two that provides behavioral health care services in the public school, and they are well used and well appreciated and very effective. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Geisel. Other questions from... if you can also just briefly touch upon the differences in the versions D between the versions our work draft J.
I would be happy to, Mr. Chair, but I also have a lifeline here named Jane Conway, who wasn't going to do a sectional because there's only one section. But perhaps Jane would like to come up and chat a bit about the difference.
Thank you, Ms. Conway. If you can put your name on the record and you can begin when ready.
Hi, I'm Jane Conway, staff to Senator Kathy Geisel. The difference in the two versions is the addition, if you go to page one, and it's line starting on line seven, it adds another supervisory person, which is the advanced practice registered nurse licensed under AS0868, who is certified to provide psychiatric or mental health services. So that is... that position is added in there, and then on line 13, going to the second page, to line 4, are some sidebars and descriptions of what that oversight should entail. And that's the difference between the two versions.
All right. And with that, I want to remove my objection for the record. If there's no other further objection, we'll just continue to work off of work draft J, version J. Senator Bagachev.
It's more of just a thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator, I just want to commend you for bringing this bill forward. There were a couple of constituents that actually talked to me about this. I didn't understand the issue recently. And so seeing it for me, hearing your description of it, timely, necessary, let's move forward.
Thank you.
Senator Machicki.
Thank you. So you, Senator Giesel, you said that there are 114 psychiatrists in the state. And I'm going to look at the statute for 08.68, but how many advanced practice registered nurses are there licensed under 08.68?
It's estimated to be about 150. So basically it would double the number of potential supervisors. In addition, pardon me, Senator Machicki through the chair. In addition, Senator Machicki through the chair, this would open the door for more telehealth. I know that some of the clinics that have waivers are using out-of-state psychiatry oversight, and the obviously those psychiatrists are not physically present in the clinics, but this would ensure that that door would be opened even wider.
Follow-up, Senator Machicki?
Thank you for that. Sounds like a valuable addition. So 0868 is the Board of Nursing, is that correct? Is there a specific certification associated with psychiatric or mental health services under that or another statute?
Senator Machicki, through the chair, the statutes do not parse out the multiple specialty certifications of nurse practitioners. You'll also not note that family practice is not there. That is the most common. But no, that is defined in regulation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Any other questions for Senator Giesel at this time? Thank you, Senator Giesel. We'll now open... It's up for public testimony on Senate Bill 169. I'd like to invite anyone in the room to come forth and state their name for the record if anyone's here.
Good afternoon, Senator Wilson. My name is John Cezada. I'm the policy director for the Alaska Primary Care Association. We are the 27 federally qualified health centers operating at 160 sites throughout the state. We support this bill and appreciate the leadership of Senator Giesel in recognizing that the current supervision model serves as a bottleneck for the provision of behavioral health services. We do request that physicians be added as a provider type to supervise LMFTs, and we've brought this to the attention of numerous folks here over the last week or so. Expanding the behavioral health labor force is the number one priority of Alaska Community Health Centers and has been for the last 2 years. We support both SB 105 and House Bill 353. Community health centers have made major investments in behavioral health that have resulted in the last 2 to 3 years with a 25% increase in encounters in patients, the addition of many new providers in our health centers, and now over 11,000 Alaskans receive behavioral health services through their local community health center. There is a shortage of billable providers, and at this point in time, in speaking also on the other bills under consideration, in a very recent behavioral health survey or behavioral health workforce survey, we are down between 12 and 18 behavioral health providers in health centers across the state that could be serving up to 9,000 additional patients. This is an important issue because we want to make sure that we are able to supervise those new providers as they come in, and that's why we support this bill and the addition of physicians as a supervising type. And really, I think that sums it up. We do appreciate the bill, and I would like to see that one change.
Thank you, Mr. Rotot. Any questions, Senator Machicki?
No? I'll wait for the sponsor's comment, but it looks to me like 0864 is general in nature as 0868 is. I'm not sure why it wouldn't allow a general practitioner under 64 to fulfill this role.
Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I did want to comment on that recommendation. First of all, Mr. Chairman, 0868 0864 is, in fact, the medical state medical board statutes. I had originally wanted to say either a physician licensed under or an advanced nurse practitioner with specialty. As I spoke with Randall Burns, the director of Behavioral Health Division, he advocated that it remain a psychiatrist so that the specialty care would be there. But I have no opposition to opening it up and making it, in general, physician. The need is there. We need to open the door as wide as possible. So I would not object to an amendment of that sort. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up for invited testimony is Art Delane, the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education. Art, if you can state your name for the record and affiliation, we may begin when ready.
Good afternoon. My name is Art Delane, and I live in Fairbanks. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for allowing me to testify this afternoon. I come before the committee representing the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education. I also would like to talk to you as a parent and guardian for a young man who is 24 years old, my son, who experiences severe depression, anxiety, and schizophrenia. He has ongoing suicidal thoughts and has been admitted to the Fairbanks Memorial Hospital three different times now for suicidal practices. In some parts of our state, communities are lacking these mental health services. Fairbanks is one of those communities. As far as I can determine, it's been 2 to 4 years since we've had accessible mental health services in Fairbanks for those who are low income, only have Medicaid, or have no other health insurance. And that's obviously one of the populations that the Governor's Council is also concerned about. I've checked recently, and there are no current private practices that are accepting Medicaid patients. So accessibility to mental health services is almost non-existent. We have healthcare professionals in Alaska, a limited number, it has been said before, of psychiatrists. And our support and my support of this bill is because this would allow us more access to professionals who then could offer more and better services for those in need. My son has been waiting for at Fairbanks Community Mental Health. He's been on this for 2.5 years now for services. And our only alternative is when he does become overwhelmed, he has to go to the emergency room at Fairbanks Memorial Hospital, which, as you know, is a very costly alternative. And it's just for crisis. It's a Band-Aid. It's not a long-term fix. My son was employed. He worked at Safeway. Because of his mental health conditions, he is no longer employed there. He, at times, could not take the perceived stress. It wasn't, for most people, very stressful, but in his mind, it was so stressful that he just wasn't able to work any longer. So now he is home. We are receiving limited services through Tanana Chief Conference for him, but his mental health services are almost non-existent. He does get medication, but that's about the gist of it. He's been waiting for care, and a lot of people in the situation are also waiting for care. There's one small agency here in town that tried a wellness program. They had to meet all the requirements for billing Medicaid, and the biggest barrier was an on-staff psychiatrist. They tried for several years to make a go of it, did for a short while, but the barrier of having a psychiatrist on site 30% of the time was just not a doable thing. So that program has since gone away. Federal Medicaid mandates the supervision of therapists by psychiatrists. Senate Bill 169 would allow psychiatrists to supervise in a clinic by consultation or communication device. The use of the television technology and other modern technologies would greatly enhance mental health services for people in our community, and especially those in rural areas. I just recently retired, actually last week, from Access Alaska, but when I worked there, I saw a great need of mental health services. In fact, in my opinion, the number one need and the biggest help for people in our community would be access to good mental health services. The Governor's Council on Special Education Disabilities supports 169. I support Senate Bill 169. I would hope that all of you would also support 169 and pass this into law. Thank you very much for listening to me this afternoon.
Thank you, Art. Any questions? All right. Seeing and hearing none. Take brief at ease. Go back on the record. That ends our invited testimony. We'll open the open for public testimony. Is anyone here in Juneau like to testify on Senate Bill 169? Seeing and hearing none, and seeing and hearing no one else joining our off-net or folks in other LIOs, we'll go ahead and close public testimony. Is there any other questions for the sponsor of this bill, for Senate Bill 169 at this time? Seeing and hearing none, Senator Giesel, do you have any further comments you'd like to make?
Not at the moment, Mr. Chairman. I think we all understand the urgency and importance of this topic. Thank you.
Okay. Well, at this time, we'll hold this bill over for further discussions, possible amendments to the bill. Are there any other closing comments from committee members at this time? That concludes our business for today. On Wednesday, March 7th, we'll take up the confirmation of the governor's appointed positions to the Alaska Mental Health Authority Trust Board of Trustees, also the Department of Health and Social Services, Department of Office of Children's Services will provide its response to last week's Citizens Review Panel presentation. Thank you everyone for attending, and we are adjourned at 2 p.m.